Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. A very warm welcome to you all to this service of public worship. It's end of year Thanksgiving and hope for the New Year's service. Welcome to those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time, or those who are doing so after a long while. And as usual, after the service, we will have teas and coffees at our church hall. We want also to welcome our brothers and sisters who are following this service via Zoom, and those who will be listening to it afterwards from the church's website. The intimations are as printed out on the order of service in your hands. But we've got one other intimation this morning. Moira Clark, one of our church members, passed on to glory. I'm sure that many of you would know Moira. Can I ask you please to stand for a moment of silent prayer? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have been our dwelling place. From generation to generation, you are God. You give life, you know life, and you bring life back to yourself. We thank you for Moira Clark and for all those who have departed from this life. We thank you for all she was to us and to our community. Accept her by your side. And I heard a voice from heaven say, write, happy are all those who from now on die in the service of the Lord, for their labor will go with them. Amen. Please be seated. Our liturgy this morning is quite responsory, so there will be a number of times you will be expected to respond. As the year draws to its close, we come before God to remember his steadfast love, to give thanks for his mercy through all our days, and to place the coming year into his hands. The Lord has been our help in times of joy and sorrow, our strength in the days of uncertainty, and our hope for the days yet to come. O come, all ye faithful. 306, our first hymn.
Joy for
Let us pray. Holy God, we come into your presence aware that this is no ordinary moment. As Moses stood before the burning bush, so we stand before you now. You are the God who is near, the God who speaks from fire, yet listens with compassion. You call us to take off our sandals, to recognize that the ground beneath us is holy. Slow us down, Lord. Quiet our restless thoughts. Help us to remember who you are and who we are before you. You are the God who sees. You saw the suffering of your people in Egypt, and you see the pain, the weariness, and the quiet struggles we carry into this place today. Nothing about us is hidden from you. And so in your light we confess. We confess that we often hurry past holy moments, treating you as familiar rather than faithful, useful rather than sovereign. We confess that like Moses, we resist your call. We say we are too busy, too tired, too unsure. We doubt that you can work through people like us in places like this, at times like this. We confess our fear, our reluctance to speak up for what is right, our silence when love or justice is needed. We confess the ways we turn inward, protecting our comfort while others struggle. Forgive us, Lord. You revealed yourself as the great I am, the God who is present, constant, and faithful. Not the God of the past only, but the God who is here now among us. Meet us again with your mercy. Cleanse us from sin, free us from guilt and fear. Renew us by your grace. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next team, 313, see in yonder Menjalu.
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Do we have any children in church this morning? We do. Anna, come on. Hello. That's a baby. How are you this morning? Did you have a nice Christmas? You did. What was nice about Christmas? Santa gave you a purse. Is that all? Some pink cross. Crocs. Oh, pink Crocs. Wow. And did you have a nice time with your family?
Yeah.
That's Anna speaking. Well done. Today is a special Sunday for the church. That's why you have some new things here. Can you guess? You don't know. Of course you don't know. Today is the last Sunday in the year 2025. Can you believe that? So this is last Sunday for 2025. So we are going to say goodbye to 2025 soon and we'll get into a brand new year. Next year is going to be 2026. Are there any things you want to remember, some nice things that happened in 2025? Anybody in the church want to share?
Great-grandchild.
Daughter got married. Grandchild. Pardon?
Nice holidays.
Scotland qualified for the World Cup. Cameroon did not. Many things we can remember, we would like to remember about 2025. And somehow I feel like we've had more numbers in this church this year. I may be wrong, I don't have full statistics, but I seem to see the church looking a bit fuller. So I'm going to remember that for 2025. But most especially, we are only able to remember because we are here. Now, are there things you would want to pray for God to do for you in 2026? Or are there some needs that you want to bring before God?
I don't know again.
You don't know again? Okay. Maybe family members who are not well, we want to pray for them that God will be merciful and show kindness, bring healing. Maybe there are things we want to achieve, we want to bring before God. It is good to be thankful. But sometimes it's difficult because we are always thinking about what we want God to do for us. In the Bible, Moses had an encounter with God. And God gave him an assignment to go to Egypt and liberate God's children. And Moses said he was not able to. You know what God said to him? I will be with you. It's a powerful statement from Almighty God. I will be with you. And what that means is, whatever we do, wherever we go, we have to remember that God is with us. So as we end 2025 and look forward to 2026, we can be sure that God will be with us all the way, just as he has done during this year. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our lives and for the love that you have for us and for the love that you have for our church. We are grateful for our children. There are very few in church this morning. And we thank you for what they learn each week here. We pray, O God, that you continue to bless and strengthen them. And as we say goodbye to the year 2025, we ask for your blessings for the new year. Guide and strengthen us, and continue, O Father, to fulfill your promises in our lives. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our next theme is Joy to the World, the Lord is Come. It's 320.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Exodus 3, verses 13 to 15. It can be found on page 60 of the Pew Bible or on the screen above. Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name for which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'" And our New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. And can be found on page 1065 of the Pew Bible or on the overhead above. "The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Christ Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.' This is the word of the Lord." We continue our worship by singing from Psalm 4, hymn number 304, "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Oh,
Let us pray. Gracious and living God, as we turn to your word, quiet our hearts and focus our minds. Send your Holy Spirit among us that we may hear not only with our ears, but with understanding hearts and willing lives. Where we are tired, give us strength. Where we are confused, give us clarity. And where we are afraid, give us courage. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, it is genuinely a privilege to be here this morning. Not because it is the last Sunday of the year and we are all feeling especially holy or well organized, but because, quite frankly, some did not expect to be here at all. After the year we have had, just turning up deserves a small round of applause. We have survived another 12 months of headlines that made you want to switch off the radio, health scares that came out of nowhere, grief that still sits quietly beside us, and disappointments that did not announce themselves but arrived all the same. And yet here we are, dressed, mostly on time, reasonably awake, and still willing to sing hymns written by people who thought central heating was a luxury. That alone is a kind of grace. There is a saying in Scotland that we are no bad, not brilliant, not falling apart either, just still standing. And sometimes that's faith in its most honest form. So today, on this last Sunday of 2025, we don't gather because the year was easy. We gather because God was faithful and because somehow we are still here. When we take a look back at this year in the life of our dear church, what we see is not a neat success story. It is something better, and it is something real. Alongside worship and work, we have also mourned. As a congregation, we have carried the weight of loss. We have said goodbye to people we loved deeply, and the empty spaces they leave behind do not quickly fill. For some, grief has been loud and public. For others, it has been quieter, shaped by long evenings, unanswered phones, and the ache of absence. The loneliness that comes when close family are no longer near or no longer here at all has been one of the hardest lessons of this year. Yet, even that, difficult as it is, has taught us something essential. Love does not end when presence does. Memory is not a weakness. Remembering is how the soul keeps breathing. Psychologists tell us that grief is not a problem to be solved, but a bond to be carried, reshaped over time. Faith adds to this, that those we love are never held only by memory, but by God. This year, we have not walked alone. Across the cluster, we have gathered for joint services, standing shoulder to shoulder as one family of God's people. We have shared communion, breaking the same bread and lifting the same cup, reminded that Christ's table is wider than any single congregation. New voices have been welcomed into this pulpit, new preachers bringing fresh accents of faith, and in doing so, we have been reminded that the gospel does not belong to one voice, one place, or one generation. Along the way, we have lived through serious conversations about union, partnership, and change. These have not always been easy, but they have been honest. They have asked us to look beyond what is familiar and to imagine what faithfulness might look like next. And even as structures shift, one thing has remained steady. Christ still invites, still feeds, and still gathers his people. We have also marked history together, lifting our voices with the wider North 5 cluster to sing psalms that have carried faith through war, famine, reform, and renewal. Voices young and old, strong and trembling, joined in a tradition older than our uncertainties and deeper than our fears. Still we sing, and that matters, because singing does not deny pain. It gives it somewhere to go, and in doing so, it turns survival into praise. And we have laughed too. If you can't laugh in this church, especially in Scotland, you are in trouble. We have laughed at ourselves, at the changing shape of church life, and sometimes at the sheer stubbornness it takes to keep showing up. Laughter, like lament, is a survival skill. It reminds us that we are still human, still connected, and still alive. All of this, worship and grief, memory and hope, song and silence, humor and fatigue, forms the honest backdrop for our readings today. Because scripture is not spoken into tidy lives, but into real ones. And it is into that reality that God speaks again. In Exodus, Moses asks God a question that every generation eventually asks in one form or another: who are you? The Israelites want a name, something solid, something they can say when everything else feels unstable. And God answers not with a neat definition, but with mystery: I am who I am. In other words, I am present. I am faithful. I am not confined by your fears or your timelines. God does not give Moses a slogan. God assures him, the God who speaks from the burning bush is the God who will go with them into the unknown. That matters because by the time we reach Acts chapter 4, God's people are once again asking questions about authority, about identity, and about survival. So Peter and John are standing before the religious authorities. This is not a friendly chat over tea. This is a courtroom atmosphere. These are the people with power, the people who decide who belongs and who doesn't. And the question they ask is telling: by what power or by what name did you do this? In other words, who authorized you? Who do you think you are? And Peter's response is extraordinary. He does not hedge. He doesn't soften the edges. He doesn't try to be diplomatic. He says, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved. Dear friends, that's not theology, that's courage. Peter is standing in the shadow of the cross and the empty tomb, and he's saying, the power you are asking about is not political, it is not institutional, it is not something we control, it belongs to the risen Christ. This is the same Peter who once denied Jesus out of fear, and now he speaks with clarity because he knows who holds the future. No other name. That's my theme. And that phrase, no other name, is not about arrogance. It is about trust. It is not saying we have got it all figured out. It is saying this is where we stand when everything else is shaken. In a world obsessed with influence, status, and control, Acts reminds us that God works through faithfulness, not force, through witness, not weapons, through a crucified and risen Savior, not through systems that promise security but deliver fear, and that truth lands close to home. We have seen power misused this year in governments, in institutions, in the quiet places where people are told they don't matter, from Gaza to Ukraine, from Cameroon to our own communities. The world groans for change, and it is tempting to ask, who will save us now? Acts answers plainly. Not an ideology, not a structure, not even the church itself, but Jesus Christ. For us as a church, standing at the edge of another year, this matters deeply, because the future of the church is not finally about buildings, budgets, or how things used to be. It is about whether we still believe that the risen Christ is present among us. The same God who said, "I am," to Moses, is the God who raised Jesus from the dead. The same Christ who stood with Peter before the authorities stands with us as we face uncertainty, change, and hope we don't fully understand yet. We are not being asked to save the church. We are being invited to trust the Savior. That frees us. It steadies us and reminds us that faith is not about clinging tightly to the past or fearing the future, but about walking faithfully into what God is already doing. As this year draws to its close, we stand here carrying many things. Some of us are tired in ways sleep has not fixed. Some are grieving losses that still feel too close to name. Others carry a fragile hope, real but tentative, afraid to trust it too quickly. Scripture is honest with us. Acts does not promise an easy route. Exodus does not either. Neither offers escape from uncertainty, but both proclaim something stronger. God is present and God is faithful. When Moses asked for God's name, the answer was not a theory, but a promise. I am who I am. And when the apostles stood before power and fear, they declared, "There is no other name." These are not abstract statements. They are anchors. They have held God's people steady before, and they can hold us now. That is why more than 300 years ago, in a time of political instability, short life expectancy, and deep anxiety about the future, the English hymn writer Isaac Watts sat with Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses. People were afraid of what lay ahead. Empires were shifting. Disease was common. Certainty was rare. And out of that moment, Watts gave the church a hymn, not of denial, but of trust. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. He was not writing for a peaceful age. He was writing for people who needed language, study enough to face uncertainty. The hymn does not say God removes every storm. It says God shelters us within. It does not promise long life or easy days. It proclaims something deeper, that across generations, God has been faithful and therefore can be trusted still. So we step into the new year not with certainty, but with confidence. Not because we know what lies ahead, but because we know who goes with us. The same God who was our help in ages past remains our hope for years to come. And that, dear friends, is enough. Thanks be to God. Amen. It's now time for us to reflect remember and renew. As we come to the end of this year, we pause in the stillness before God. We remember the days gone by, the blessings received, the tears shed, the grace given. For the times of joy and laughter, for the gifts of friendship and love, for the moments when faith grew deep. For the times of difficulty, of loss or disappointment, for lessons learned in hardship, for your strength when we were weak. For the life of our congregation, for worship shared, service offered, and prayers lifted, for your guiding hand in our fellowship. If you are able and you are willing, please just move forward, take a candle, light it from any of these ones to symbolize gratitude for the past year and hope for the new one. As these lights shine before us, we remember that Christ is the light no darkness can overcome. In him, our past is redeemed, our present is guided, and our future made secure. Once in Royal David's City, 315.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offerings. Faithful and generous God, from whom every good gift comes, as we bring our offerings today, we pause to remember that all we have already belongs to you. The strength that carried us through this year, the patience that held us together, the love that sustained us when answers were slow to come, all of it is grace. We do not give because we have abundance. We give because you have been faithful. Bless what is given this day, that it may serve your purposes in this place and beyond it, and send us from here dedicated not only in word, but in life. We offer all this in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us intercede. Let us pray for ourselves and for the world. God of all times and places, the one who said, I am to Moses and raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we come before you at the close of a year carrying the world in our prayers. We pray for a world still marked by violence and fear, for places torn apart by war and occupation, for Gaza and Ukraine, for Sudan, Cameroon, and so many places whose suffering does not always make the news, where power is abused and lives are treated as expendable. Speak your name of justice and peace. We pray for leaders and those in authority. Give them wisdom beyond self-interest, courage beyond popularity, and compassion beyond borders. Where decisions are made that affect the vulnerable, may justice be more than a word. We pray for your church in all its diversity and fragility, for congregations navigating change, uncertainty, and loss, for those wounded by conflict or disappointed by institutions meant to nurture faith. Remind us that a church is not saved by its structures, but by the risen Christ who still gathers, forgives, and sends. We pray for this congregation of Newport on Tay, for those who are grieving as the year ends, for those facing loneliness in quiet homes, for those anxious about what the new year may bring. Hold close those who feel worn down, overlooked, or unsure of their place. We pray for the sick, the frail, and the weary, for those waiting for test results, those living with long-term illness, those whose strength is limited but whose faith remains deep. May the name of Jesus be for them a source of comfort, presence, and peace. We pray for children and young people standing at the threshold of new beginnings. Give them curiosity without fear, hope without pressure, and the assurance that they are deeply loved. We pray for ourselves, O God, as we step into a new year. Keep us from despair when the road is unclear. Keep us from pride when things go well. Teach us to trust again and again, not in our own certainty, but in the one whose name holds us. All these prayers we offer, spoken and unspoken, in the name that saves, heals, and sustains, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A final hymn, 161, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.